What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And we have Kathleen in Paris finally back on the line. Aloha, Kathleen. What is on your mind today?
Hi. Aloha to you, too. Well, a couple of things, and they're both kind of big, but it was on the topic we were talking about before. Credit cards, number one, and everybody's in debt. And I just think that when, you know, it's all going to start falling down, why do we keep paying those credit cards to these illegal, immoral banks? Just stop it.
Well, if everybody stopped at the same time, it would definitely all come crashing down here.
But again,
the system is set up to turn us all into debt slaves. And from the point of view of the bankers, they may see themselves as the good guys, as a force for the organization of the human capital to keep us going in a unified direction to serve the elites. But like any system of organization, it can quickly cross a line into abuse and repression and oppression, and that's where we are.
That's where we are. So I think we should stop paying our credit cards. The next point is pretty big. I watched a piece about the Russian Revolution and the crash, and pretty important in that was when their military refused their orders.
Yes. We could see that here. We could see that here. Certainly the military high command is all on board with this let's make war on the world thing because it means more promotions and money and kickbacks for them. But the ordinary rank and file military in this country are very disenchanted with what's going on. They understand none of these wars are moral. None of these wars are actually protecting the United States of America. Like Marine Corps Major General Smedley Butler, they understand it's just a racket. They're going on out and using force of arms to force other countries into the control of large corporations.
Yeah, so I think that all of us who know somebody in the military should talk to them seriously about this. Refuse your orders. They're illegal and immoral orders, and we're not obliged to obey them.
You're absolutely right. Under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, rank-and-file military are not obligated to follow an illegal, immoral order. Of course, part of the basic training is to brainwash you into unquestioning obedience. Do you remember Lieutenant Aaron Watata? This came out some years ago where he basically refused to deploy back to Iraq, saying that the war in Iraq was illegal and citing that portion of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. He says, I have a right to refuse what is clearly an illegal, immoral order. And boy, did they pound on him. They wanted to make an example out of him. You know, don't you dare tell us what the law and the rules say. You just do as you're told. And he stood firm. And we had his father on the show here for an interview. And I got to talk to him when he made a presentation. In fact, I even made a video of the presentation. It's over at my YouTube page. And he's a man of rare courage. And we need more people of courage like that. But again, many years ago when they did that combat arms survey for the Marine Corps, and the Marines all said, yes, we would shoot on American citizens who refused to surrender their guns. And I got to talk with one of the Marines afterwards, and they said, we were just told that's the answer the bosses wanted. But no, in point of fact, Marines, like most rank-and-file military, they're strict constitutionalists, and no, they're not going to kill their fellow American citizens over the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms.
Okay. Well, anyway, most of us know somebody in the military, so we should be talking to them.
We absolutely should, because more and more people who are in the military, on military bases, you want to talk about the censorship we're seeing out here. It's much, much worse on those military bases. They are not being allowed to see anything that would lead them to question the orders and policies that are being fed to them by their chain of command. All right, Kathleen, we're going to let you go, and we're going to take Frank in Pennsylvania. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, Michael, thank you for taking my phone call, and I agree with you. What's happening in that small city in Pennsylvania where they're bringing in these diverse cultures that cannot assimilate. And in truth, Michael, for the last 50-plus years since the 1965 Immigration Act, multiculturalism and diversity has been a total failure for the United States, and that is the truth. And anybody that's over 60 will understand that when this country was predominantly European, we were on to doing great things for our nation. We were working in the national interest for the betterment of this country. Today, with multicultural diversity, you have actual communities, like, say, Southern California, that are predominantly Spanish-speaking, Middle California, predominantly Asiatic-speaking, and Northern is predominantly English. Nobody's getting along. It's tearing this country apart, multiculturalism. And if you look at monolithic societies, like in Asia, for example, in Japan and China, and you look at the wonderments that they have developed over the past 50 years, like their monorail system, you can sit in a monorail system with a cup of coffee, and you can go 160 miles an hour, and I'd have that coffee shake. That's how advanced they are in technology. You try that on one of our national highways here, it'll coffee be all over your lap. We are losing, Mike, with this multicultural diversity. The biggest lie the media told us is that this is our strength. It is not our strength. When you have groups of people that cannot communicate and will not assimilate into the national fabric of this society, we're heading for big trouble. And this is where this country is heading, Michael.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And again, the goal here is not multiculturalism, but the erasure of any sense of culture at all, or identity, or history, to make us easier to control, because we won't have a strong sense of who we are. People with a strong sense of self are harder to control. And maybe that's a reason why all of a sudden it's open season on white Europeans, because we do have a strong sense of who we are, where we came from, who our ancestors were, and all of a sudden we're finding ourselves under attack. They're trying to tear down white people from universities. They're saying that you shouldn't use research produced by white people in any future studies, which is, again, the parallels with the Nazi book burning to erase any science created by Jewish authors like Einstein. The parallels are very, very obvious. Anyway, Frank, I'm going to let you go here.
Thank you.
Got some news I got to cover here. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates rejoining our network. And I want to talk again about that tragedy up in Minneapolis, because we're starting to get a clearer picture of what's going on. So basically, there was this young lady, Justine Demond. She was from Australia. She was living in the United States. She was 1 month away from her wedding. She was a yoga teacher, natural healer. That was her job. Just an absolute perfect human being. And she thought she heard a noise outside her home, and she calls 911, and a Minneapolis police car shows up, and Officer Matthew Harity was in the driver's side, and Officer Mohammed Noor was sitting in the passenger seat. And the story that's coming out now is Justine Demond came up to the police car to talk to the driver, Matthew Harity, and talking about the noise she heard. And then all of a sudden, with no warning and no reason apparently, Mohammed Noor just drew his service revolver, reached across the driver, and shot Justine Demond right there at the window of the cop car. She's standing there in her pajamas. She's not a threat. Obviously, Matthew Harity didn't think she was a threat. You know, and he's saying he's stunned. He has no idea why this happened. And that's going to lead to a couple of questions on my part. First of all, prescription antidepressants. I want to know if this Mohammed Noor was on prescription antidepressants, because right now that seems to be about the only thing that would explain this bizarre behavior. He's just sitting there. His partner is talking to the young lady, and he just pulls his gun, reaches across his partner, and shoots her in the stomach point blank. Kills her. Now, the Minneapolis police are trying to put out a new story saying, well, there may have been fireworks going off in the area, and Noor thought that it was this girl trying to shoot them, which is very weak indeed, especially when you consider that fireworks are illegal in that state. I think it's prescription antidepressants, coupled with all this police training by these Israeli security services, which are teaching the American police to treat the U.S. citizen the way the IDF treats the Palestinians. And this is just horrific beyond belief. All right, we're going to take a couple more phone calls. Rick in Arizona, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, as far as that shooting goes, her name is Diamond, not Demond. And I remember the day that guy was... Okay, what?
I'm sorry, it was spelled Demond in the article. I was cutting it out of. Okay.
The first article is Diamond. They switched it because she's Jewish. Anyways, I saw the video. Her son right away said, "We got to retrain these police." So I would hold my breath on this. This may be a false flag. Don't be so sure that this thing is real. There's no tears in the video in anybody's eyes, not her son and not the lady that was going to lead the march.
Hang on a second. You're not going to, you know, the white population, especially the Jewish population, they don't rise up and riot in the streets and throw trash cans through the windows. So I don't see what they hope to.
I know, Mike. I'm just saying, it's just, I would just hold your breath a little bit on this story.
I want to know if this guy was on prescription antidepressants.
Why does Republic Broadcasting always parrot the media? I mean, isn't this supposed to be the truth channel?
Yeah, I think the truth is that we need to be looking at how dangerous these prescription antidepressants are, because they've been involved in all these mass shootings that are going on. If you go over to SSRIstories.org, you're going to see case file after case file of people on these medications who just all of a sudden at random commit acts of violence and suicide. And one of my favorite stories from over there is this student who tried to commit suicide, and they intervened. He survived. After it was all over, they said, "Why'd you try and kill yourself?" And he says, "I don't know. It just popped into my head, and I couldn't help myself." And it sounds very similar to what we have with this officer, Noor, just sitting there in the car with his partner, and all of a sudden just drawing his gun, reaching across and shooting this woman in the stomach. And
it's really hard to believe. So we say that on prescription drugs, that's what helps us make us believe a real impossible story. So most of these shootings in the last couple of years are very questionable. So I'm just saying, but as far as multicultural.
Yeah, but again, what is the purpose? I mean, if she'd been black, yeah, I would go along with the idea that this is a provocation.
For real, Mike. Believe
are you going to let
we
me
don't
talk?
Know if this story is for real.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to let you go. Okay. That's somebody who didn't want to have a discussion. They're here to push an agenda. I mean, if this victim had been black, then yes, you could entertain the idea that this is an attempt to stir up race riots again. But she's this white Australian girl. Nobody's going to be rioting in the streets. We're angry over what happened, but you're not going to be able to get Black Lives Matter in the streets over this. I think this was a classic case of another bad reaction to prescription antidepressants. And don't forget, there was that study done down in Florida saying that police officers are a higher per capita use of these medications than the general population, and the general population is running somewhere 24-25% of people are on these medications. You go on out and you do a web search, you'll see all these articles by people who were prescribed antidepressants. They didn't even want them. The doctor just said, "Sure, just go take this, you're going to be better." I mean, that was how my one experience with them came about. I was seeing my doctor over a completely unrelated matter, and she says, "How are you doing?" Because I was going through the breakup of my first marriage, and she said, "You want some of this?" And I don't even remember what the name of it was. And for the first few weeks I was on it, I was happy, I was fun to be with, I was being invited to parties, and then all of a sudden there was this horrible backlash. I was literally just sitting in a corner on the floor saying, "It's the chemical, it's the chemical, it's the chemical." And that was the only way I got through it. And I'll never touch those medications again. They are dangerous, but because they make money, they are still being pushed on the American people. That's the only thing that really makes sense to me. I mean, even this officer's partner is saying he's stunned. He has no idea what happened. I want to know if this officer Noor was on prescription antidepressants. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Mike in Alaska. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, they didn't even want to report about the background of the officer that shot that woman. I think that's a very important factor here. I think, like a few callers ago mentioned, the multiculturalism, we're bringing people in that come from very violent cultures where this may not be out of the ordinary. Now, we're going in there and stirring things up and invading and doing all these terrible things as well. But we don't need to be over in these places, and those people don't need to be in St. Paul or wherever this was. But they tried.
I don't know where Officer Noor came from. He could be second or third generation. And he'd apparently been on the force for 2 years, so he wasn't exactly a newbie either. And that makes what he did even that much more inexplicable. I mean, he hadn't had any problems before. In 2 years, there hadn't been a problem.
Right. But what they're finding out, for example, in Europe, is that these second, third, fourth generations are getting less integrated as time goes on. So in Europe, some of the hardworking people from the Islamic world that came in maybe in the 70s, it's their kids and their grandchildren that are doing these nail bombs and these that we're looking at now in London. So it's actually getting worse. It's a bit counterintuitive.
Yeah, but in that case, these are people who are being recruited by intelligence agencies to stage these terror attacks for whatever agenda there is. Okay, I just confirmed that Mohamed Noor was an immigrant from Somalia. And apparently, up until this shooting, was doing a very good job. So
It's very low impulse control, as we saw, and that's actually not uncommon in Somalia.
Well, it's also impulse control is also a problem on prescription antidepressants. Apparently, this Officer Moore was praised by the Minneapolis mayor in 2015. I got to tell you, I think it's the prescription antidepressants. I want to know what medications he was on, because those things are very dangerous.
They are. I agree with that completely. I'd love to know the answer to that question as well. It could be a factor of several things.
I'm going to try and find out.
I think that caller that mentioned the Asian societies versus what's been going on here, I think, and 1965 Immigration Act, that is right on. And unfortunately, what happens is that, and this has happened many times in history, we can just go look at other examples, is that when you create minority-majority country, everyone just starts fighting, and then the largest minority group that remains pushes all the other ones around and says, this is how it's going to be, or purges them. And none of us actually want that, but our immigration policy is setting us up for that. So I'm
well, you need to take a step back here and realize that immigration works or not based on the economics. Now, during the heyday of American immigration, back with the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, and they were bringing in all these people from mostly Europe, it worked because these people coming into the country had economic opportunities. There were jobs. They were able to make that new life for themselves. It's very different today in both Europe and the United States of America. These people are being lured into this country with all kinds of glorious promises of what they're going to find here, and they wind up in Europe and the United States. There are no jobs. There are no economic opportunities, and they're very angry, and they can't get back home, and they're acting out. If we had an economy that could support jobs for all these new people, I don't think we'd be seeing anywhere near these kinds of problems.
And you know, the jobs that are good manual labor jobs were sent over to Asia predominantly. So it's so crazy that we bring in groups that are generally manual laborers when manual labor is disappearing. That just boggles my mind. Regardless of the culture and the language issues, it's just like they're not going to be working at NASA. That's just so, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
It does. I wouldn't use the phrase manual labor as much as I would use skilled labor. Because there's certainly a lot of manual labor that needs to be done in this country, in particular with the roads and bridges. Anyway, Mike, I'm going to let you go here. We're coming up on a commercial break, and I've got another caller waiting, but I'm going to wait until after the commercial break on that one. Now, normally I do not do entertainment news here, but Claire is a big fan of Doctor Who. Who is currently played by Peter Capaldi. And apparently BBC has announced that the next Doctor, if you're familiar with the show, the Doctor regenerates every once in a while so they can have a new cast member continue the character. And the next one is going to be a woman, and it has provoked a rather surprising and alarming backlash. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. I'm going to ask our callers waiting on the line to be a little more patient with me because I want to get through these two stories. So over at Doctor Who, and if you're not familiar with the show, it's a very, very long-running series. It goes back for decades. And they get around the problem with the lead star getting old and retiring with this idea that every once in a while, Doctor Who has to regenerate. And he always comes back as somebody new. And that's why there have been all these different doctors through the years. And apparently the next Doctor Who will be a woman played by Jodie Whittaker. And this has actually provoked a rather surprising backlash among the show's fanatics who have simply grown up with the idea that Doctor Who is a guy. And they're seeing it as caving it in to the PC crowd. And apparently BBC is getting a lot of angry letters and emails and phone calls and everything. I personally don't have a problem with it. It may be interesting. In fact, when Elementary made Moriarty a female character, I thought that was an interesting twist. But after the flop of the feminized Ghostbusters, I'm a little surprised BBC went ahead with this. And I suspect that the new female Doctor Who is probably going to be a bit of a ratings wreckage here. One more story before we go back to the phones. Apparently over at the University of Iowa, Professor Sarah Bond wrote an article denouncing the use of white marble in artwork. as an expression of white supremacy. And she says, we shouldn't be imagining all these Roman statues, reliefs, and everything, because the white marble was intended to be a symbol of white supremacy. And even in this article, it points out that these artwork from Rome weren't white when they were made. They were painted in bright, garish colors, which have simply faded over the time. Traces still remain. In fact, many, many years ago, this would be back in the early 1980s, mid-1980s, and I was working for a computer animation company, and we volunteered our services to the J. Paul Getty Museum to do some computerized image enhancement of some of their Roman marbles to bring out the color that was in there. It was one of the earliest applications of CGI imaging as a non-invasive method of seeing what they had originally looked like. And J. Paul Getty then went on to develop their own department. So, no, it wasn't set up to be an expression of white supremacy. They weren't even supposed to be white when they were made. But the PC crew is just grabbing everything they can and saying, I'm offended. Okay, be offended, but just go away and don't demand I be offended with you. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Mark in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bill, Mike. Mike, I agree with you 100% about the like drugs, that I think anybody in a job where they have to, where physical force is required, especially where you can shoot, we actually have under certain circumstance, you can shoot somebody. There's no way that you should be taking those drugs. It should be banned completely, those type of jobs. But I'm also going to tell you a possibility that might have happened that you're not going to like. I know you're going to probably think, but I have to say it. Two possibilities. There's a lot of problems with the Somali community that's coming into this country, especially in around Minnesota, right? One possibility, I don't say it's the truth, but it could be, is this guy was doing some kind of a personal jihad, that he just actually became a police officer, being that he could infiltrate. It's easier to infiltrate because you can go get around different places and all that with a badge and all that, an ID card. The other possibility also is that he might have been, I don't know if this woman was wearing her yoga outfit or not when she came out.
But she was in her pajamas.
She was in her pajamas. So then that wouldn't be the case. I was thinking maybe it offended him or something like that. But I do have to think that possibility. I don't say that's the case. It's very possible, as he said, it's psych drugs. I'll tell you this. They're not recruiting people properly for these police departments. And the more liberal cities are actually recruiting. You have more of these shootings in these more liberal cities than you have in more conservative areas.
Yeah, but you see, this guy was doing a good job. He got honored by the mayor spoken highly of by the mayor in 2015. So, I mean, this is just out of left field. Anyway, Mark, got to let you go. Got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or onyx silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Just taking a look here from a web search. Article out of academia.edu. Antidepressants, dangerous medications for working cops. Over at the Pulse of Natural Health, new evidence antidepressants are causing an epidemic of violence. Article over in the Daily Mail, could antidepressants make you violent? Young people who take drugs, including Prozac, are 50% more likely to be convicted of assault and murder. Another one over at the Freethought Project, landmark study shows antidepressants make people twice as likely to consider violence and suicide. There is a problem there. There is a problem there. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here. Francis in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, aloha to you.
Aloha, well, nui nui.
One, it's pretty obvious that such interesting drugs, which was unrelated to the two thoughts I had for you to start with, is only because those synthetic concoctions do not allow you to think. They block conscious reason and thought. So it's no wonder that people have moments where they do something that makes absolutely no common sense whatsoever, other than it going out the window. One, as far as the aspect of people being here that probably should not be in the U.S., that get in and whatever have you and so forth. If there is such an issue with that, which apparently the federal government wants them here because they get to do what they want to because of it. In other words, problems, solution, whatever, that's Hegelian dialect. But if they really wanted to get rid of them, then they could have done that like they did the indigenous Native Americans back in the 1800s when they basically moved them out of their homes and property and so forth back at that time. Now, as for the officers and so forth and this woman being shot in Minnesota, I'm just trying to figure out, since I'm not that familiar with the scenario, what his buddy, his partner, whatever that was behind the wheel, what he did other than calling in a report that the woman was shot or a man down or whatever the case is. And did he confiscate the firearm from his partner in the vehicle?
We don't have those details yet, but obviously somebody had to call for the ambulance, and there were witnesses around there. And again, it just is completely inexplicable. And again, I don't go with this idea that this guy was an undercover jihadi, because to basically be a good cop for 2 years just to take out one infidel, it's not exactly cost effective. And again, the only thing that makes sense to me, and again, I'm looking at all these articles, and do it for yourself. Do a web search on SSRIs and violence, and you will see there is a problem there. And Congress actually held hearings on this some years ago, but of course they did nothing because those giant pharmaceutical corporations are very generous campaign contributors.
That's putting it lightly, but yes, that's why. Apparently there's a lot of holes going on here and there, but I think it was probably one of the witnesses that actually called in for an ambulance or whatever, because I think between the two officers in the vehicle and one's got their service revolver drawn, I feel for the driver, for that matter. I mean, a woman standing there with her pajamas on, I mean, come on. If that officer was on drugs, did he see something on her pajamas move, or was it the wrong color or whatever have you? That was offensive?
Well, if he was on prescription antidepressants, I mean, I'm ruling out hallucinogens like LSD or anything like that. But if he was
on
antidepressants, his brain may have just fired off saying, pull gun and shoot, and he wouldn't have been able to stop himself. That's really a big, big problem with these. And again, if you go over to SSRIstories.com and take a look, you will see all kinds of stories like this of perfectly normal, well-behaved people who are put on these medications, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're killing their parents, they're killing themselves, and it just doesn't seem to have any reason whatsoever. It's just the brain is malfunctioning, and they're coming to understand that the theory behind SSRIs doesn't really work anyway. We just barely understand the brain as a biochemical computer. And we start pouring in all these chemicals into it to make a fast buck, and it's causing a lot of harm. But as long as it's making money for the big pharmaceutical corporations, our government's going to continue to tolerate it and cover it up. Now, you remember back when they were talking about Adam Lanza and the medications he was on, they were trying to make the argument that even if the medications were responsible for his violence in that one case, it wasn't important for the American people to know because they would stop taking their medications. And when you look at how deeply Connecticut's economy is dependent on pharmaceutical corporations, you understand what the real agenda here was. Protect the profits. People are unimportant. Protect the profits.
Well, that's true, because, quite frankly, you're reminding me of one comment. It's called slow kill. So that's one way of doing it. Have a good one.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch to James in Ohio. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Wayne, I would like to explain in brief why SSRIs are so different and more dangerous than other drugs, whereas other drugs like benzodiazepines or tobacco will cause the brain to produce more receptors that respond to these drugs. SSRIs are singular in that they will actually cause the brain cells that respond to them, serotonergic neurons, to sprout all over the brain where they were never intended to be. This is a completely unintentional side effect, and it also makes quitting them extremely difficult because receptors turn over after time. Proteins don't last forever. But of course, brand new brain cells are, you know, they last quite some time. And the best analogy I could think of on the fly is if you had a computer processor and you put new transistors all over it in without regard to any structural order. And of course, serotonin has a dramatic impact on human behavior. So, and I know you don't like to speculate on this type of thing, but I estimate a greater than 50% chance that they knew about this in advance, and this was intentionally released because of this effect, because the people who run the world in general, the main way that they maintain power is to just mess things up for the rest of us. They could care less how much disorder there is as long as we provide them comfort and, you know, make them feel like gods. But, yeah, you have to be on them a while for this to occur to some extent to where it makes you violent. But it's like a whole new level compared to other drugs. I'd rather be a heroin addict or be addicted to benzodiazepines or alcohol or anything else pretty much and quit rather than SSRIs, because if this progresses to a certain point, say maybe a year, your brain will likely never ever revert back to the way it was. And some people have an easy time. Everybody's an individual, but by and large, from what I've seen, I've known a great many people on these things. I've seen the outbursts, the violence, and it also, with women and men, it also seems to negate the sex drive. And there's a very world-renowned, if creepy, a neuroscientist called his name is Dr. Michael Persinger, and he said there are more representations or dedicated a structure in the brain for sex than there is for food. So when you confound that, that is likely a large part of the mechanism why it ends up with violence, other than just, you know, rearranging
well,
the brain.
Well, let me step on in here. When we see the strange shootings, the mass shootings, what happened in Minneapolis, and it makes the news, I think the effects are actually much wider than that, because there are varying degrees of violence. And one of the things that we did here is we took the per capita usage of SSRIs over time as they began to penetrate the mass market, and we compared it with the per capita incidence of domestic violence, and we found a very, very strong correlation. So these medications that the people are on, they may not lead to murder and suicide, but they could be leading to road rage. They could be leading to bar fights.
Right.
They could be leading to slapping your spouse around. Again, Occam's razor, I think the only thing that was driving this was greed. We've come up with a brand new product, and it's addictive, and we're going to get people on it, and we're going to make a lot of money. And I think that was basically all there was to it. And the fact that it actually seems to be causing this harm, well, as long as the government's going to look the other way, we're going to do this. And like I said, Congress did hold hearings on this problem and chose not to do anything about it. And again, because of the financial power these giant pharmaceutical industries have.
And as far as the rationale for SSRIs, they've sampled cerebrospinal fluid, et cetera. They've done all these tests. There's a type of fMRI that can, in a very gross way, see neurotransmitter concentrations in the brain in real time. And there is absolutely no scientific evidence whatsoever for that. If you remember the chemical imbalance theory that was promoted so broadly, there's no scientific evidence whatsoever that the mechanism behind SSRIs should improve people with depression. But that's all I have for you. I just want to make sure that people know if they take those drugs, it's like some horrible genetic birth defect, or it's like you're creating a brand new species. Your brain is totally unlike anything that was ever supposed to exist in nature. But that's all I have for you. Thank you for letting me explain
that. Thanks a lot. And like I said, when I that one time I was on these medications, and I wish I could remember the specific one that my doctor put me on. For the first few weeks there, I was very happy, almost, well, clearly artificially so. So I did feel good. It was a feel-good pill. And then I had that horrible backlash, and I will not touch them ever, ever again. All right, let's go to David in South Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, in regards to the antidepressants, I got placed on one a few years back, and I have this quick reaction to the medications, and I've been placed on several different ones, but immediately, within a few days, I felt like I wanted to kill myself and everyone around me, you know. It was really, really quick acting, and I had to stop taking that stuff immediately, you know. And there was another question I had, though. Was there anyone that done tests on powder burns on or the eardrums of the partner, you know, sitting in the car when he reached across his partner and shot the woman? That's an open question there. I've never heard nothing about that yet. So,
well, that just came out today here, and obviously they don't need to test for powder burns because everybody saw what happened. But you're absolutely right. This officer, Noor, may have deafened his partner in that driver's seat.
Yeah, because I've been up close to gunshots, and I got a perforated eardrum from loud noises from that type thing. And, you know, it doesn't go away. It's, you know, he would have been deafened unless he had earplugs in. That's a 9mm Glock, you know, or at least something to that effect, you know.
And yeah, well, no, there would be no reason for him to have earplugs in. So, yeah, he probably suffered ear damage.
Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate your show, Mike. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, thanks an awful lot, especially when you consider they're in that semi-confined space of the car. Yeah, that driver probably suffered permanent ear damage on that one. Okay, Jeff in Austin, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Hi, this is Jeff in Austin.
Yes, I know. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Okay, thank you. Well, I'd like to comment on the SSRI that you mentioned earlier. I had never done it, had done all types of recreational drugs in my youth, but was drinking fairly heavily and got on one called Effexor. And it was pretty hardcore, and I think I was on it for about 3 months, and it took me at least that long to get off of it once I realized how heinous kind of it was.
Yes.
The commentary I can say on it is, as far as your impulse control, you had thoughts and you had impulses, but your actual control, it was almost like it set you outside of yourself. So everything you were doing, you would see that you were doing, but you weren't actually in complete and total control of it. And regardless of all the other side effects of getting off other recreational drugs in my past, there was nothing even close to the withdrawals or dealing with it. So what really wound up happening was I had taken my wife into the counselor, or I thought that that an MD would be more appropriate for opening up the egg. That used to be the classical wisdom. I wasn't the biggest fan necessarily of I studied modern psychology in college and all the rest of it, so I just thought an MD would be more appropriate. But what I found out was that it was really all about prescribing hardcore drugs.
And, yeah.
And it was
pushing
all
the product.
Supported by, yeah, it's absolutely 100%. And the kind of the linchpin or the changing of the situation was I took my wife in for marital counseling after I started these other psychoactive drugs that were unbelievable. And the doctor told us, and my wife is totally sane, and I really had an alcohol issue at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But his commentary after all of that was that if he could not prescribe some sort of drugs for her, that there was nothing he could do for our relationship or our other issues. my wonderful
dad. Oh, man.
At that point, that was the end of it all. So I realized at that point, okay, that's the end of this. I'm getting off these drugs, and it wasn't easy. And it took quite probably about 3 or 4 months. But ultimately, I got off of it, and that was the end of it, and quit drinking. And I've been married 21 years, and I'm into that. So thank you, Mike. And I'm really glad that you're covering this topic. And I've been listening to you and RBN since the beginning.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations on the longevity of your marriage. Claire and I are coming up on our 25th end of the year, and looking forward to the next 25 after that.
Well, I love hearing Claire on Fridays, and thank you.
Well, she's going to be here again this Friday, so you got lots to look forward to. Okay, we're going to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to be back. We're going to try and fit some more phone calls in before the end of the show. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get to all of you, but we'll do our best. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You've got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And boy, we've hit a hot button. I'm getting tons of email with all these stories about people who were harmed by these medications or knew somebody who was harmed by these medications, and links to all kinds of articles. There's been a lot of research done on this, and corporate media will not report it. and government will not do anything about it for the same reason these pharmaceutical corporations have got huge amounts of money to spend on campaigns and advertising. All right, let's go back here to the phones here. Chuck in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, great to talk to you again. I've got an idea for you. Assuming that you're correct, and I think you might be, can you imagine the interesting fight that would happen if enough of us contacted his appointed lawyer when it comes up, him if we can find him, to let him know to use that as a defense? Can you imagine the interesting fight between Big Pharma and Protect a Cop?
Well, there actually was one case where somebody who committed an act of violence was acquitted. The judge said, yeah, it's obviously the medication, because the guy had no prior history of violence whatsoever, and it was just right after taking the medication that he did this. So there's already a legal precedent for that.
Well, with the national interest in this story, perhaps finally the SSRI issue will come to the forefront.
I would like to see that happen here. Listen, I need to cut you off. I got two more calls. I'm going to try and jam on in here. Joel in Wisconsin, aloha. What's on your mind?
This is related to that shooting in Minneapolis. Living in a time when the government media complex has been lied to us all our lives, wouldn't it make more sense to try to figure out if what they said really did happen rather than try to figure out why it may have happened if it did?
Well, considering how bad it makes the police look and the local government look, what would be the motive to lie to us about it? Again, it doesn't make sense. Look for what should be there and isn't, and what isn't in this case is a reason for them to just make this up out of thin air. It makes immigration look bad because the guy's from Somalia. It makes the police look bad for gunning down another totally innocent person. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. Joel, thank you very much. We've got time for one more phone call. Chris in Las Vegas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Michael, as a recent victim of medical kidnapping and being taken political terrorism hostage to the Lakes Crossing Center in Sparks, Nevada from Las Vegas, I had the opportunity to observe some of the very dangerous symptoms of exposure to some of these suicidal psychotropic drugs that they give you as so-called treatment and medication that they offer up in these medical so-called psychiatric infirmities in Class 3 maximum security facilities. And I was deemed competent, but I was gotten out relatively quickly because I was observing the transcutaneous muscle tremors that accompany the administration of these so-called psychotropic chemicals that manifest themselves through shakes through the body, particularly the arms and the legs and various sundry applications.
I'm sorry to have to cut you off. It's the end of the show. There's our exit music here.
And thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. There's the music. Please stay tuned to John Stadmiller's program. It's going to be very, very interesting. Please take what you learn here. Share it with everybody that you know. If anybody finds out that this officer in Minnesota was on any kind of prescription antidepressant, please forward that information to me. We need to know exactly what was going on with that. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.